I have a quote from Dan Sheridan. Everything's going to be all right. I have a quote from Dan. Here it is. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. We are studying Clyde Pilkington's book, The Church in Ruins, and it is in ruins. If you're in it, get out of it. You're not going to reform it. You're not even going to revolutionize it. They're going to change you. Paul says in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, we're not there yet in our studies, but we're going to be eventually. You'll see. I'll get there. There are those who have a form of devoutness yet deny the power. That's the worst thing yet. Let's just go there. I'm sorry. I'm going to read this quote from Dan Sheridan, and you're going to be encouraged, but I want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 here. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about all these things going to be happening in the last days. Know this, and we're there. Tell me if we're not. Now this know, that in the last days, perilous periods will be present. There will be a lot of P's, and we're there. Men will be, well, humans. It's not men. In the Concordant version it says men, but there's a little H on top of it. It means humans, because women are included here. Sorry. Men and women will be selfish, fond of money, ostentatious, proud calumniators, and proud calumniators. Stubborn to a calumniator is one who blasphemes. I don't know what a blasphemer is. Oh, yes. Yes, I do. A blasphemer says, I condemn thee, I condemn thee, I condemn thee. And they condemn us for teaching the truth. Calumniators, stubborn to parents, ungrateful, malign, without natural affection, implacable, adversaries, uncontrollable, fierce, averse to the good, traitors, rash, conceited, fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God. I think he's getting worse here. I think these things are progressing in terror. Fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God. Well, that must mean rock and roll stars or people who are on cocaine or, you know, people who do bad things. Well, it's bad, all right. Fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God. What gratifies people more than anything? Choosing God, being the arbiters of their own salvation. And here's the last thing, because this is a religious thing. Fond of their own gratification. It gratifies the human being to think that other human beings will be in hell for eternity. It appeals to humanity to know or to think that they chose their own salvation, that they were responsible for their own salvation by choosing Jesus. Here's the last thing, having a form of devoutness yet denying the power, a form of it, a form of devoutness. Where are you going to find that? You're not going to find it in the bar or in the strip club. Nobody's trying to pretend that they're devout. They're just doing their thing. But in the church, you have a form of devoutness, yet a denial of the power. The Christian church fits this perfectly. It's devoutness in form. Everybody's holy. It's not just the Catholic church. It's every other church, every other Christian church. Everybody's all holy. Everybody dresses up. Everybody sings nice songs. Yet they deny the power of God because God can't save unless you choose him. This is a crime right along there with selfishness, fondness of money, ostentatious, proud, ungrateful, and malign, and uncontrollable, and traitors, and rash, and fierce, averse to the good. If you believe in eternal torment, you're averse to the good. So those who have a form of devoutness yet deny its power, these also, Paul says, shun. Doesn't mean you should shun them socially or never talk to them. It just means you don't go where they are. I had a guy just call me today, ask me, what do I do? I'm in my church now, and I finally see the truth, Martin, and everything's rubbing me the wrong way. I quoted him this verse, shun, get out. Again, doesn't mean you don't talk to these people socially. Doesn't mean you make an ass of yourself by not even communicating with people, as some have treated me and others. It just means you don't go to where the falsehood is being promulgated, being spoken of, where God is being lied about. And this is what this guy who called me today was concerned about. And I said, good for you. I'm concerned about the same thing. People are lying about our Father. What if they were telling lies about your earthly father in some meeting? Oh, Martin's dad, he's worthless. He really can't do anything. He can't follow through. He has great intentions, but he doesn't have the wherewithal, doesn't have the fortitude or the righteousness to follow through on him. He doesn't really love everybody. In fact, he kills a lot of people and never brings them alive again. Some people, he torments them. He has a little torture chamber down in his basement. You wouldn't put up with that for a second. So when you start to become knowledgeable about your heavenly Father, you can't stand this stuff. Paul doesn't tell anybody to go in there and fix it. He tells them to get away from it. I don't know how I got on that, but I'm glad I did. Now we're going to go to the Dan Sheridan quote. This is really good. Dan says this, success isn't the litmus test of God's servants. This goes on, but I have to stop right there and comment on this already. It's true. Success is not the litmus test of God's servants. And this is going to be very controversial, but neither is fruit. And I know Dan would be proud of me for telling you this, because he believes the same thing. Today, fruit is a result of the truth of justification, of the truth of being chosen beforehand for membership in the body of Christ. We're chosen first, we're lavished with all these celestial blessings, then we produce fruit. We only produce fruit in measure to the amount of light we receive. It's with our gospel, it's light before fruit. Now, in the circumcision gospel, it was not presented this way. It was, you produce fruit worthy of repentance, and God will bless you. And we know it was like that in the law. You do good things for me, I'll do good things for you. You know, you screw up in my program, the law, and I'm going to screw up your flock. Or your wife's not going to bear children. Or something bad's going to happen to your donkey. It was that kind of a deal. But now, here's the deal now, is that fruit comes later. And here's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, and self-control. So back to Sheridan. This is good. Success isn't the litmus test of God's servants. And we saw that last week or a couple weeks ago with Jesus Christ. He was not successful in his evangelism, really, was he? Nobody's with him at the end. Paul was not successful at the end of his ministry. All in Asia had forsaken him. Success isn't the litmus test, but faithfulness to Paul's message in a time of failure and apostasy. And that's exactly where we are in 2 Timothy, following along in Clyde Pilkington's book, which you can get at studyshelf.com. It's faithfulness to Paul's message in a time of failure and apostasy, to keep harping on these elements of grace and these elements of salvation and God being conciliated to the world and people not having to do anything anymore and keeping elements of the law away from it. It's faithfulness to that that's the litmus test. If the message is mainstream, it isn't Paul's message. This is Dan Sheridan. If it fills stadiums, it isn't Paul's message. If it makes the news, it isn't Paul's message. If it has clergy, pews, stained glass, baptismals, worship teams, and steeples, it isn't Paul's message. Quote, have a pattern of sound words which you hear from me, unquote. This is always followed by, quote, all those in the province of Asia were turned away from me. Dan finishes here. Study Paul's letters in the Concordant Version, the only version not associated with clergy, robes, candles, stained glass, and seminaries. In other words, the apostasy, end quote. Success is measured by our faithfulness. This is really the crux of 2 Timothy. Faithfulness to the message. We need to change our definition of success. This will only help us. I told you that my definitions have changed. I no longer look for success in this life. Well, I like it. It feels good when it happens. But again, we're looking to the next life to reap the rewards of what we're sowing in this life. It has been a really hard few days for me. I'm still emotionally traumatized by events in my life. The last 6 months, I go along fine for a while, and then it hits me, and I get so discouraged. I don't know why this happens. I know these truths like you do. I teach these truths. So maybe it'll help you for me to tell you this. Maybe it helps me too, just to share my burden with you. But, you know, the abandonment of this relationship and the emotions attached to that, it's just a horrifying thing. And I think I'm over it. And then I find out I'm not. And I'd like to get over things, but I go back and I have to believe my own teachings. Last week, I put some of my messages from 10 years ago on the video player, and I watched them, and I was like, I don't know who this guy is, but he's pretty good. This guy's ministering to me. Sometimes I can't imagine I'm that person doing that, saying those things, being infused with the Spirit of God, but it's in those moments that I realize it's the Spirit of God operating in spite of me. I'm a vessel, like I say on my blog, I'm a vessel fit for breaking and pouring, and I'm no better than anybody else. In fact, I'm worse probably. When I get upset, I eat chocolate, and I bought I just was, you know, committing slow suicide today via chocolate and sugar. I bought a Kit Kat, a Three Musketeer. I mean, when I lose it, I lose it. Now, I take care of myself 99% of the time, but when I'm emotional, I'm an emotional eater. So when I'm emotionally upset, I go nuts on the sugar and the chocolate. Like, I had a Kit Kat, I had a Three Musketeers bar, I had a giant Reese's cup. The Reese's cup were the size of hockey pucks. They were the extra large version. I had these gummy worm things, and I just, I still went to the Y, but it was really a half effort workout. I just showed up, and I felt good that I was at least there. I was quite buoyant in the pool. That was nice. My laps went a little easier because, you know, I've been getting fat in the last 5 days. Yes, I get fat. Yes, I do. I can show you pictures of me as a kid, and I'm chubby. I'm a chubby little kid. There's a picture of me standing in front of the Washington Monument in 1967 or 68 or something, and I'm a little chub nuts. I'll have to show it to you. You'll laugh your head off. You know, that's Zender. He's got an inner tube around his waist. Yeah, that's right. And I would still have one if I didn't work at it every single day. But when I get discouraged, I can't handle it, and I just have to do something, and I'm not a drug taker. Well, unless you want to call, you know, chocolate drug. Okay, I am a drug taker. Whatever. You do what you can. Like John Lennon used to say, whatever gets you through the night. This is a tough life, folks, you know, but I would be in much worse shape if this evangel wasn't here. It's still there. It's always there. And I know that God's not going to let me go. I know he's captured me. He's got a lasso around me. And I've heard many people say, and I can verify this, we can't get out of this call. Sometimes you might want to, but you can't get out of it, and God will not let you get out of it. We're in it for life, and it doesn't mean it's going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty every day. Quit striving for perfection. You know, I try to eat well, and one day I blow it, and now the temptation is, well, I blew it, I had a lousy day, so I might as well just start eating like crap for the rest of my life. No, you can't do that. Just chalk it up as a bad day. Tomorrow, you try to do better. If you don't, you don't. Whatever. I just keep going to that definition of depression in the Concordant version, unpublic. That is so illustrative of what it is. You just don't want to be with people. So I thank God I'm here at Clyde's. You know, we're having dinner here in about 15 minutes. I love the company, but sometimes you just don't want it. You want to go off by yourself, but that's sometimes not a good thing. So I'm going to force myself to be with people tonight and thank God for them while I'm with them. But yeah, when you get depressed, it's unpublic. This stuff touches me. It touches all of us. And it's just the nature of the human frame. Someday we'll never be depressed again. We're going to reach toward the light. God's going to lift us toward the light. And all this agony and this angst and this abandonment, these emotional hurts and pains and scars are all going to drop away, and nothing's going to be left but the pure love and grace and joy of Christ. And all these horrible, hurtful experiences we've had with each other will be healed in an instant. And man, I sure do look forward to that. In the meantime, it's rainy and drippy and miserable here in Pennsylvania, but there's a fire burning in us, all of us. It's the Spirit of God, and that cannot be quenched. And I thank God for it, that even if the outward man decays moment by moment, yet the inward man is rejuvenated day by day.